So, hey, I want to talk this morning. We're in this sermon series called Vision Map, which is up there, and we're talking about where we've been feeling like the Lord's calling us as a church for the last couple of weeks. And we've actually been exploring some different ideas. And this week, I was praying a lot and actually had like 45 sermons in my mind at one time. And I'm like, I got to pick one, though. And so I want to talk today about some important values that I think we need to reemphasize as a church, and not because they're new, but just because we want to keep saying them. But before we do that, I wanted to share a couple things that have significantly shaped my my life, I guess, my church life. Like when I view church, there's two things that have like made me just the way I am, and it's the way I'm wired, and that's kind of why I think the way I do. The first thing is this. So I have five younger sisters. My life was going really, really well until the first one was born, and then from there it started to go downhill. The sisters right below me, they're all five of them below me, but the four that are immediately below me, they're like 2 years apart, and so I grew up with my life dominated by my sisters. They would say that I was the one who was dominating, but they're not here, so we won't listen to them. But like when I was 21 years old, I had moved to California, and I had moved from the Midwest to San Diego and was living there for about a year. And I got a phone call from my mom and dad, and they're like, "Hey, we'd love to talk to you about something." And I'm like, "You know, okay, what's going on?" And I just turned 20 or 21, and I was like living on my own finally, like completely away from them because they lived out in Minnesota. And my dad's like, "Well, we wanted to let you know about something." I'm like, "All right, well, what's going on?" And they're like, "Well, we're gonna have another baby." And then I instantaneously threw up because I was like, I'm like, what? You know, and no, on a serious note though, I was like, how? No, don't tell me. You know, and I'm like reeling out. I mean, it was like, seriously, I was like, but you have so many kids. Like everything my kids say to me now with our five kids, I use that all on my parents. And so my youngest sister was born, obviously about 9 months later. And so my dad called me. I was living in San Diego still, and he called me. He's like, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know your sister was born. You have another sister." And I was, you know, at that time I was really hoping for a brother because I already had four of those ladies, and so I was like, "Oh, it's a sister. It's a baby, you know." And my dad just telling me, "You know, yeah, we named her Chloe, and she's got Down syndrome." And then I was like, "What? She's got, you know, what is that?" And obviously, I'd heard about Down syndrome, and when I was a kid, back in the 80s, there was a TV show called Life Goes On. Anybody in here want to say Life Goes On was awesome? What? Yeah. Like, that was the only thing I knew about Down syndrome. I was like, okay, you know, and got off the phone and immediately started, I mean, weeping, honestly, to be completely honest, because I was like, oh my gosh, what does that mean, first of all? And then secondarily, is my sister going to be picked on her whole life? That was, honest to God, my two first thoughts. So my sister was born, and like next week I fly up to, they had moved to San Francisco area, and so I went up there and visited her, and I held my sister for the first time, and oh my gosh, I like fell in love with her, like beyond, I just was holding her, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. And so my family, as some of you know, my dad's Japanese, 50% Japanese, and my Down syndrome baby was like the cutest little Asian looking baby in the entire universe. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is my sister. You're never going to get her from me. And I just fell in love with her. And so she's now turning like 18 this year, and she's graduated high school, and I'm like feeling super old lately. So I just want to let you know, if you want to comfort me about that, you can. And she's graduating, and it's really exciting. But a couple years ago, this is what was formative for me. I was at a church service, and my sister is just like one of those people who just loves people, and she's always in your space. Like the way to get her to leave you to like spend time with you, you is just to say you don't want to talk to her, and then she's like all over you. She just loves annoying people. She's a lot like her other sisters. Anyway, so she's at this church service, and I'm watching her, and she loves church. Like she's always been around church her whole entire life because my parents have been followers of Jesus since I was a kid. Or since I was a baby. And so I was watching her, and she's just like the life of the party, and she loves to eat and hang out, and so she's just eating and hanging out. And I saw her, she took her like plate of food that she had just eaten, and she walked over to throw it in the garbage, and there was a gentleman standing right next to her, and the look on his face of when he saw her was like heartbreaking, because I could see on his face that he was absolutely disgusted by my sister with Down syndrome. And I wanted to pick up a table and smack him with it, but Jesus prevailed. And but it significantly shaped me because I remember watching it and I was like, man, it's not just people with Down syndrome or other disabilities that often are treated that way. It's just people in any walk of life can be treated that way, right? Like, we just have this tendency as human beings sometimes to treat people like crap. So I was like really shaped by that. In fact, I wrote this huge piece for the Vineyard, and it was published all over, and I was talking about just the necessity for churches to work hard to be inclusive to people with disabilities and other challenges. So I was like, okay, I'm never going to be the guy who has a church that does that, okay? And so, like, I'll just be full disclosure, if you ever treat anybody like that here at the Vineyard, you probably will get punched in the face by my wife, because she's even more than I am. So that was a significant thing that shaped me. And the second thing was this, is that I have tons of friends who are unchurched. Like, in my life, even though I've been churched my whole life, I have lots of friends that are unchurched. And when they would share their stories about going to a church for the first time, it was like depressing, you know? Like, case in point, I have some friends, they never been churched. They decided to go to a church for the first time. Like, all right, we're gonna check this church out. So they go and they walk in, and immediately when they walk in, like, all these people come to them and are like, hey, are you new? And they're like, is it that obvious? Like, yes, we're new. And they're like, well, you know, we're so glad you're here. And like, all of them are there. And then they said, we would love to welcome you to our church. And then they pulled out these little spongy balls that had Velcro on them, and they put it right on their shoulder, right here. And they're like, this is how we'll all know that you're new. Okay? Oh, no, it gets worse. So then they're like, oh, well, thank you. And so they go into the sanctuary, and there's all these people in there, and there's about, like, you know, 5-10 people with these orange balls on their shoulder. They're telling me this story, and I'm like, you're lying. I'm like, we need to find out where those balls are ordered from, because we need to get some, right? So anyway, they're like there. And then after the music, the church person, the pastor or whatever, stands up and is like, hey, if you're here this morning and you have an orange ball on your shoulder, we want you to stand up. So they stand up, and then the whole church sings a song to them about how happy they are that they're there. And it was like the weirdest thing ever. I mean, is that weird? Okay. They're telling me that. I'm like, that is terrible. I'd have left. And that's just like one of many stories I have where people, you know, visit a church for the first time, or that's like in the church. What about outside the church where you run into a weird Christian person who like makes you feel all awkward because, you know, you don't apparently, you know God or whatever. Like, I was in San Diego, I had been following Jesus for most of my life, and I was walking down the street one time, and these dudes with suits on were like, hey, brother, do you know Jesus? And I was like, yeah, I actually do. And they're like, no, you don't. And I'm like, what? And they're like, no, you can't. And they started, you know, picking on the way I dress, which some of you do here. I just wanted to point that out. But it was like a really formative experience. These two things of seeing the way my sister and other people have been treated in churches, and then also hearing the stories of people who go to churches for the first time and like just can't connect in some way. And it's like, it's actually led me to have like kind of a lot of different goals when it comes to church, but one of the things that it's led me to really want to live out is where I approach church with this attitude where I want to welcome everyone and include everyone. Like, that was like a significant, those things have significantly shaped me, where I'm always kind of thinking about how there's people out there in the world, there's people probably in this room right now that might not just feel like they can connect and they don't know how, and I want to do everything I can to help them. And then this week, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm like, man, I'm reading Ephesians. And last week, we spent some time in Ephesians. We were looking at the Ephesian church and seeing how over the course of the Ephesian church's history in Scripture, we see it go from being this small band of people, and there's a few pastors, and then it grows to being a larger church, and it's developing along the way, and there's certain things that the church has to do differently in order to maintain the growth and be in a sustainable model so that people don't get burnt out and things like that. And one of them is to go from having the leaders do everything to having the church be empowered to actually participate in the work of kingdom. And it's really beautiful. But as I was reading Ephesians, I came upon this verse, and I want to read this, just one verse this morning, because it's so packed with theological insight, and it's also pointing out the heart of God. So Paul, let me just set this up contextually. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul starts out by saying, basically, hey, this is Paul, I'm writing to the church in Ephesus. Then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's in verse 3. And then he launches off into this, like, 12-verse long run-on sentence. In the Greek, it's just a run-on sentence where he's offering praise to God for all that God has done. And then in chapter 2, in verses 1 through 10, Paul basically says, hey, listen, Ephesians, we all were dead in our sins. Every single human being has a sin problem. But God, in his rich mercy and his grace, sent Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could have life. And we actually were created for more than just what we're doing right now. And then in the rest of chapter, starting in verse 11 through 13, he starts talking about how God actually intended to bridge the wall that had been built. There had been a wall built up between Gentiles and Jews. So there was an ethnic wall between those two ethnic groups. And Paul says that God actually wanted to break down that wall through Jesus. And then he says this. He says, but now you Ephesians who were primarily Gentiles, meaning non-Jews, he says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God. Just think about that. Paul says, once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And as I was reading that, what just struck me is that there are lots of people that are far away from God. And whether they feel that way or know that way, I mean, that's, you know, everybody's different. But I've met many people in my life who it's like when I'm talking to them about God, they're like, they can't fathom the idea of a loving God. Anybody ever talk to somebody like that? Like, they literally cannot fathom the idea of our Creator loving them because of their experiences or the assumptions they have or the you know, whatever's happened in their life. But here's Paul saying that, he's saying that, you know, God's work and activity in this world is actually to bring those who are far off and to bring them near to him. And so I just love how this verse is beautifully situated in Ephesians, though, because like I said, it's developing out of this long run-on sentence of worship, and then Paul clarifies the gospel of grace, and then he goes into this idea about God actually wanting to have the picture of ethnic diversity illustrate the beauty of God. And so as I was thinking about this verse and just I was on this verse like all week long just kind of thinking about it, like it struck me, and maybe this is really not anything helpful to you or insightful, and if that's true, then maybe we need to rethink this. But this is one of the most beautiful truths that we see in Scripture, is that God is in the business of bringing those who are bringing close those who are far off. Like, that's actually what God's at work doing. Like, when I think about what God has been doing around me and in my life, most of my life, this is what I think is probably true most of the time, is that I've gotten to see people who feel or are experientially distant from God, experiencing the presence of God in some significant way, and then they get brought in and near to him. And it's like such a beautiful thing to witness. I mean, like, yesterday, I was thinking about this because, you know, last week I shared a really funny story about a hoverboard, and everybody's been texting me about hoverboards, and I hate all of you, but anyway, like, I was like, man, I gotta get another good story. And I'm like, I don't have a good story. That was the last story I got. There's no other good stories. Except for the reality that most of my life, at times, I have felt very much like I didn't fit in different circles I've been in. But you know what? God has always bridged that distance. And that's like a beautiful story, isn't it? And I think for many of us in the room, you might feel that way too. Like, there's these awkward stages in life. Like, man, I remember when I was like 13 years old, and it was just a disaster. Everything was a disaster. Socially, I mean, everything in my life was like a disaster. You know, like, you're at that time, your legs are growing and you're like, can't run, and you used to be good at sports, and now you're not good at sports, and it's like crazy, and feeling just like a misfit or not fitting in or being so distant. And yet the gospel teaches us that through Jesus Christ, we're actually brought from being far off into the nearness and closeness of God. It's like a really wonderful truth. And so we have this reality that God is in the business of bringing close those who are far off. And it's one of the most beautiful things. Because the more that I think we actually discover the grace of God, the more that we realize that we were actually distant and far off from God. Like, it's really common for us to think like, well, it's not that bad for me. Right? Like, when we're talking to people about following Jesus, have you ever had somebody say, well, that's cool for you, but I don't need that. I'm good. Right? But the more that we actually discover the truth of who we are and what God's done for us, the greater appreciation we have for the fact that he saved us even though we were so far and distant away from him. And that is the beauty of the gospel. It's like, you know, in some ways, we can think of it this way. Like, when you first maybe start following Jesus, you're like really excited about it, and you tell all your friends and family, like, yeah, I found God. And I'm like, God's not missing, right? He found you. He actually found you. He initiated this whole entire thing because of his grace. And it's like the Apostle Paul, and that's a developmental picture. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you first become a Christian, you're pretty excited about it because you made the right decisions because you're so smart. And then like 10 years later, you're like, oh my gosh, he chose me. He like actually orchestrated this because he loves me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because the Apostle Paul does it like this. And in one of his earlier letters, in 1 Corinthians, he's like, I would just like to let you know, I am an apostle. And then by 1 Timothy, towards the end of his life, he says, I am the foremost of sinners. And what that is it's like we develop an awareness of just how broken we are and an appreciation for the gospel the closer we draw near to God, right? Because he's just so much more holy and loving and welcoming. And I mean, everything about God is amazing. But here's what I think is really beautiful about this reality, that God is in the business of bringing close those who are far off. And this is the corresponding truth that we have as followers of Jesus who are being invited and initiated into God's work, is that God brings people close through his church. Yeah, through his church, his people, his community of the kingdom. He's actually working through them. And it's, I think it's one of the most beautiful things. So what I want to do this morning is actually kind of mine into that. And I want us to think about this conceptually for a little bit here with this question. And this is a legitimate question for us to work through. As a church, I think it's important that we all kind of see this. How do people connect with God? Now, I thought about that. Like, we could just throw an open invitation to everybody throughout a lot of different reasons. And everybody in this room probably has lots of opinions on how people connect with God. And I am not one of those people. If anything, I'm like, I refuse to make lists that don't keep on going. Like, I don't, like, these are the four ways that people connect with God, and you're going to memorize all four ways, and that's the only way God works. Like, can I get an amen to the fact that God has no problem breaking boxes, right? And he does things the way that he wants to do things all the time. That's just how God works. However, in my church experience, I've actually seen kind of some patterns here that I think are important for everybody in this room. If you're a part of the vineyard, if you're part of this community, there's some things that you just need to like understand on a practical, pragmatic level for most people. So there's no doubt that we want people, and that's people, right? We want people to connect with. Some of you are like, I don't know, it's Prezi? No, the cross is Jesus, right? So there's people, and we want them to connect with. That's like 20% of you are in agreement. We want people to connect with Jesus. Like, we are actually actively working for that because of our mission, which is to know Jesus and make him known. Okay, so, like, how do people connect with Jesus? And here's what I've found, is that there's these links, the chain links that connect people to Jesus. It's like, it's never ever, I swear to you, I've been trying to find that one person who's like, well, this is how it happened. I was walking in the desert, and then God showed up. And then I memorized the Bible right there because it just downloaded into my brain. And now I've been following Jesus for 25 years and I planted 100 churches. Like, there's never that, right? It's always like these little things that over the course of time, all these seeds are being planted and people come to experience God in some way, shape, or fashion that changes them. And if our goal is to go back to join God in his work and we're actually trying to work hard toward reaching those who are far off and bringing them near, then I think we need to be aware of this. And so here's just a basic run-of-the-mill way that I think people generally go through the process. And this is kind of, I think, pretty cool. So the first thing is that people get an invite of some sort, all right? And this is what that looks like. The invite is a way where we actually give people a chance to connect with God. So like the quote I always like to say is that people are always one invite away from encountering God. But there's some kind of invite that happens, and then they move up the chain or down the chain, right? So there's an invite. And then in churches, honestly, first impressions matter. Amen? Right? They do matter. And so greeters who smile actually can make a huge difference in the church, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but like if I walk up to a church, and this has happened to me recently, where I like walk up and the greeter's like, good morning. And they open the door and you're like, oh, hey, how are you doing? They're like, oh, fine. I'm like, oh, you know? But like greeters who actually smile can make a huge difference. And so can we give a big what to our greeters here? Because they do a great job of that. What? Yeah, that was great. Wow. All right. Also, first impressions, clean bathrooms. Yes. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Right? I've actually had more people tell me that they chose to go back to a church because of clean bathrooms than any other thing in churches. And after I went to a church that didn't have a clean bathroom, I understood why. I was like, oh, I'm not coming back here again. I'm going back to the Red Bluff. We also want to have just friendly people in general, right? So first impressions is like a chain in the link, right? It's a link in the chain. And so we also, here at the Vineyard, would suggest that coffee is a link in that chain. The way that I have always kind of viewed coffee or any type of food is that coffee or tea creates space for relationships to grow, right? There's just something really helpful about snacks. And Jerry's getting a coffee right now. Thank you, Jerry. So coffee is another link. We also would say that safety and security is another link in the chain. In fact, more people are now asking that when they come to the Vineyard. Like, hey, do you guys have a safety and security team? We do. There's actually guys right there that have AK-47 blockers. I don't know. But I think we have a responsibility, actually, as a church, to be creating a space where people can feel safe. Like, right? I mean, that's important. And so we have a team of people here at the Vineyard who are actually working on that. And so that might be one of the links that helps people assimilate into a community. Like, you might not think that's an important thing, but it actually, for a parent, it is. Amen? Right? Yeah, I want to know my kids. I want to know if, like, the teachers have background checks. Yes, they do here at the Vineyard. Another link would be our music. I got this text message from somebody, and this is what they said. This is about a couple months ago. They said this: I always felt like God was mad at me, but during the singing time was the first time I ever felt God's love. And I was like, that's because in the Vineyard, the way that we look at music is that music isn't just singing songs, right? We actually think that in the space of worship, God makes himself known to us. And he actually reveals to us his heart for us in the same way that we're wanting to reveal our hearts to him. It's like this beautiful exchange where we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And so that makes perfect sense that someone would actually come to experience God's love in the music. Another important facet and another link might be the ushers and seating. I just really have found this to be true, is that people don't like sitting next to someone they don't know. I mean, look at you guys right now. Like, spread out as much as you can, right? Like, from literally Ryan over there as far away as he can to Kim over there. It's like, hey. Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. Like, that's just reality. I don't know about you, but like, when I go to a movie theater, the last thing I want to do is sit next to somebody. Even if it's my kids, especially if it's my kids. I'm like, you guys got your own row. It's in the front. But so we need to be aware of that. Like, people generally don't like sitting next to someone they don't know. And so you obviously want to have people that can help usher people. Or I've also found that new guests, when they come to a church for the first time, they don't know where to go. I visited lots of churches. In fact, recently, when I was on vacation, I went and visited church. And it was like, I was walking... Actually, I pulled in. It was like the coolest thing because I was like, this is what it feels like. Because I pulled in and I was like, I don't want to get out. I just drove an hour to go to this church. I don't know anybody. This is going to be so awkward. And I'm like, no, I got to do it. I can't tell people to come to a church if I'm not willing to do it myself. I'm like, do it. I psych myself. I'm like, do it. I'm a pastor. I love Jesus. I know the Bible. I can't do it. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm texting. Should I go? Okay, I'm doing it. So I get out and then I'm like walking and I'm like, I don't even know where to go. Because the church I happened to go, there was like no real clear signage. And I'm like, is it this building? And so finally I found this door that opened. Like, this must be it. And I walk in and it's like, I was like, oh my gosh, where do I go? I don't know what to do. And and it was just saying, hey, hi, friend, are you new here? Like, yeah, obviously, because all of you are talking to me. Leave me alone. It was really. So I get it, is my point. And so new guests don't know where anything is or where to go, and we need to be sensitive to that. And so obviously having people that can do that in a church experience is helpful. Are you guys with me? Yeah. Like, this matters. You might be like, this is boring. This matters because I'm hoping that all of you would join a link. Be a team member in some way, shape, and fashion. Okay, so we also have a welcoming vibe. Welcoming vibe is important, okay? We can't underestimate hospitality from the top to the bottom. And some people don't feel church is a safe space. That's the challenge that those of us who have been in church forever need to actually understand, is that church is not a safe space for everybody. In fact, church can be super scary, intimidating, whatever it is. You might have had a bad experience when you're a child, and you don't want to go back to church. That happened 30-something years ago, but it still affects the way that you think about church. I mean, my own experiences of visiting churches, you guys, I'm telling you, like, maybe this, I've visited so many churches in my life, that's why I'm so, like, gung-ho about this, but I'm telling you, like, if you go and visit churches, a lot of churches just don't work very hard at making people feel welcome. I mean, right? Is anybody with me? You ever visit a church, you walk in, you're like, they don't, it's like they're looking at you like, why are you here? You know, I'm like, I thought you guys wanted people to come worship Jesus. No, we don't. Not you. You need to leave. You know, and it's like, what? And I mean, they might not say that, right? But it's the vibe. It's the vibe that we can give. And so that's why we always want to work really hard to make sure that our circles are open, so that we're always letting people know that they are welcomed and they're valued, and that we want them to connect with Jesus and we want them to connect with people. I mean, I sat this week and I was thinking about all the experiences I've had. I mean, when I was coaching churches and doing a lot of consulting in the vineyard, I would go to vineyard churches all the time, and I would not have anybody welcome me. I would not have anybody be friendly to me, and then they'd invite me to speak, and then after that, everybody was like really friendly to me. I was like, that's not good, right? So that is an important aspect of our church, the church experience that people have. One link is having a welcoming vibe. Another one is kids ministry. The Christmas party, Nikki and I decided to do the children's church stuff together. And let me just tell you right now, after spending 1 hour with her and the kids, she's a freaking saint. Okay, I mean, yes. As I was like having kids puke on me, and it wasn't yours, Dan, it was other kids, as well, you know, okay? Other kids are puking, and I'm like, oh, this is ministry. Holding their hair back. I was just like, I just looked at Nikki, and I was like, you are amazing. Like, get me out of here. So kids ministry is so important. But here's where I actually learned that a few years ago. Here's the thought. Does the church have anything to offer an unchurched single mom? So, I don't know, it's probably 10 years ago now, we had this tragedy in our community back in Wisconsin where a woman who had two kids, one of them was like brand, just spanking new. Her husband has a heart attack and dies at work. And so, like, she's a single mom who didn't really have a church background, who had two kids. And so she ends up coming the next weekend. Our church was doing, like, this big free-for-all where we just had, like, a barbecue and, you know, kids were playing on our playground and stuff. And she comes and she introduces herself. And I, as soon as she starts telling me who she is, I'm like, I know exactly who this is. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's, you know, at our church. Let's not blow this, you know. And like, oh, yeah, we love, you know, we talked to her for a while. How can we help? And then she's like, well, I'm thinking about trying the church tomorrow. It was a Saturday. I was like, cool, come. Yeah, we'd love to have you tomorrow. And so she comes, and at that time, our church, you know, we were still developing things. But as I was in the middle of the message, I looked at her, and I saw her, and she had her two kids. She wasn't comfortable yet dropping them off at kids' church, because when you first come to church, you don't know, right? So she's got her kids at her feet, and it was like, as I was talking, it just dawned on me that literally nothing I was saying had any application to her life at all. And it, like, totally changed my life. I mean, it was, like, a third formative thing in my life. And I was like, you know what? I don't ever want to have us talk about things on a Sunday morning and not have it be applicable for as many people as possible. And so kids ministry, on a very practical level, makes it possible for a single unchurched mom or dad or anybody to come in and actually be able to focus on what's going on. Amen? Like, it's super important. So our kids ministry is a huge link in the chain. And then community in general, I think is important. But community is experienced here at the Vineyard through our crisis care team, which we announced last week, pastoral care, core groups, prayer teams, and any other circle that exists here in our church. But I think we need to always realize that people need to be able to be weird together. Right? I mean, like, that's why you want to have as many circles as possible. So, like, the people who are really into whatever weird hobby they're into can do it together. Right? I'm being serious. Some of you are like, ha, ha, ha. No, I'm serious. You know, like, I mean, whatever it is, underwater basket weaving, you know, like, there should be a group for that, for those weirdos in this room that do that, right? So we don't ever want to underestimate the value of community. Another link is two is media teams. You know, we have social media teams because they serve as reminders and second invites, and I think it's pretty much goes without saying that if we want to reach younger people, it's non-negotiable, right? I like how some of you are like, I'm not going to say amen to that one. All right. And then finally, I think prayer is a huge way that people can connect with God. And so I thought a way to say that would be naturally supernatural prayer that respects people's desire for privacy. And so when I look at these links, and this is what I just wanted to give you a visual for, is that there's a lot of links that are probably missing. In fact, I think if we went around this room right now, I said, well, what were the things in your life that helped you connect? It might have been a lot of other things. But the point being is that that's how God works. God plants many different seeds in people's hearts in different ways. And over the course of their lifetime, these seeds are growing and budding. And when we look back, we might say, oh, it was this, 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 and this. And I was talking to Nancy McClure, who is here. Nancy is right there. Nancy's collect that real quick. Nancy and Harry are like two of the most amazing human beings I've ever met. Can I get an amen to that? And if you don't know them, she will approach you to ask you to serve on her team. Like, that's what I love about her. But I was talking to her about this, and I was like, hey, what helped you connect? And this is what she shared with me. This is her way that she connected. This just might be helpful for some of us. She said, Harry and I had been through a life or death traumatic event, and we're looking for a church. And I want to put a pause and say, like, for those of you that don't know their story, you should, but God has done a miraculous work in Harry's life. And it's been, like, really beautiful to watch. And I know that they can share that testimony with you. But they had this life or death traumatic event, and we're looking for a church, hopefully in Red Bluff. At a ranch branding, a longtime family friend, Wade Kittle, suggested The Vineyard. I was like, thank you, Wade. And Dan Ackley is the one who invited Wade. So do you see how there's like these connections, right? And then at a ranch, okay, so we came the following weekend. My memories in that November of 2016 were of Bill Knight speaking with us. Bill, good job. Way to talk to people. And then Don and Luke introducing themselves, and during the message it was asked if anyone needed prayer. I took a leap of faith and raised my hand. In came Dan Ackley. I like how Dan Ackley's in quotes too. Like, the Dan Ackley. That's pretty sweet. Good job, Dan. We did not feel any pressure on us, just this overwhelming, welcoming feeling. The rest was history after that. Super easy to get involved if that is your wish, or just lay low. Either way is acceptable, no judgment. It was what we needed. All we can say at this point is we so love our church family and don't know what we would do without them. As new church people, it is such a blessing. We love you, Red Bluff Vineyard. And yeah, that's good, right? I mean, that's when things go right. I could show some things when it doesn't go right, but that would not make a good sermon. So, but on a very practical level, the chain links, I think, when we go back to thinking about it, about church and how people connect, all those different links matter, right? And as Nancy and I were talking, she started telling me all these other different ways that it was like helping her connect. And so, you know, what all that is to say is here at the Vineyard, you know, all the different different teams we have here, I mean, people who clean the church, right? Or all the greeters, the coffee, the music, like every, I mean, I can't even think of all the different things that go on here at the Vineyard to make space for people to connect with God. What I'm saying is that all of that matters. All of it matters, amen? And so finally, there's this last passage of scripture, I'll end with this. Is Paul the Apostle is talking about spiritual gifts. He's laying out like this theology of gifts, and he's trying to say, hey, every follower of Jesus, he actually says this in verse 11, he says that every follower of Jesus has been given spiritual gifts sovereignly by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes them and gives them to whom he pleases, but everybody has them. He says, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And so think about that in our church life is like this. All the different ministries that go on here at the Vineyard, all the different things that happen behind the scenes, can we all agree that every one of those things matter? Right? Even more so now when you see the chain links, because what we understand and what we need to see is that all the things that happen here are helping people move forward and closer to Jesus. And that is why we exist. And so when I think about where we're going forward in 2018, I part of me is like, I don't know, I don't want to throw this out there and make anybody in this room feel pressured, because that is not how we roll here at the Vineyard. But I do want to invite you to know that if you're at the Vineyard, you attend here, you come here, you participate, you feel like this is your home, and you're looking like at this being your family, which is a very good word to describe, I think, what we can have here. If that's the direction that you sense God inviting you into, or you just have this natural pull toward, I just want you to know that there is space for you to engage and to be a link in some way, shape, or fashion that will help people come to know Jesus. Like, I'm just convinced of it. So let's stand up together. I'd like to actually pray, but I want to share just something real quick. You guys can all close your eyes, actually, if that'd be helpful for you, because I think this might apply to some of you. Probably not everybody. You know, some of you in this room are maybe trying to figure out what your strengths are and your gifts and what you're passionate about, and that's, you know, like, welcome to the club. You know, like, I feel like we'll be probably doing that together for our lives. You know, and there's different things we have going on around here that can help with that. In February, on Wednesdays, we're going to be doing a class just in February to discuss spiritual gifts and personalities and wiring and passions and things like that. And so we'd love to have you come for that. It's called a Kingdom Identity class. But there's a lot of other people in this room that I just felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you. I was listening to this older man named Dave on Friday night talk about how he's from another Vineyard church. He came up to just spend some time with a group of pastors, and he was sharing how he's been in the Vineyard for a long time, like dozens of years. And he was a public school teacher for like 27 years and just retired. And this summer was trying to figure out what he was going to do. He's like, you know, I've been serving in my church for a long time, and, you know, now I'm retiring, and not really sure what I'm supposed to be doing in life. And as he was praying about it, he just felt like God said to him very clearly, I'm not done with you. And so he was kind of like, wait, you know, I'm at that stage in life where I'm able to like retire and kind of just enjoy life. And God just said, no, I'm not done with you yet. And so now, after the summer and spending time discerning, he's now part of a church plant. He joined a team and he's planting a church just outside of Sacramento, and he's their worship leader. And as we were sharing that story, it just struck me that I think some of us in this room need to be reminded of that, is that God's not done with you yet. Like, you might have come to the Vineyard for a long time, or maybe you went to church a long time ago and you haven't been in church for a while, and you're trying to figure out where you fit in. But I think, like, foundational reality is that God's not done with you yet. And so I just like to pray that for anybody that feels like that's speaking to you or connects with you, or you feel any orientation toward this idea that maybe God actually wants to do some incredible, amazing, great things through you and in you for the glory of God and for the well-being of people. And so if that's you this morning, just everybody's eyes closed, heads bowed. If that's you, though, and you would like to just say, yeah, that's me, I identify that, would you just be willing to put your hand up right now? Because I'd love to just pray for you. Just anybody in the room that would just say, yes, I identify. I would say that that's for me. God is not God is not done with me, and that I still have things that God's inviting me to. Okay, so let's do this. Let's pray. We welcome your presence now, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you've been here, you've been at work. And Lord, I thank you that there are so many people in our community that have, over the course of the last, for the history of our church, but in my experience, in the last year and a half, have responded to the invitation to join you in your mission, to do all that we can to see the city of Red Bluff and the communities around us to be transformed. And so I thank you for that. I thank you for the willingness to serve, the willingness to engage, to attend, to participate, and to keep on growing. But Lord, I'd also like to pray for those in this room who maybe are feeling like they've been disconnected, or they are confused as to their gifting or passions, or they've served for a really long time and have just been struggling. Or maybe they're here this morning and they've never really connected with you. But to hear that you want to work in their life, God, is something they positively want to respond to. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come right now? And for every person that raised their hand, every person that even on the inside just identify that that's where they're at, would you come right now? Would you just bless them with your presence and with your love? Would you encourage them and would you give them hope? And Father, I pray now that as we transition in from this space of intentional gathering and what we call church, would you help us to transition to a place where we go out on mission and we go out, Lord, knowing that you are at work in the world around us and that there are links and seeds being planted all over, and that part of our responsibility, part of our invitation is to identify them and to bless them and to join you in your work of loving this city and loving the world around us. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would go with every single human being in this room. We pray this in the mighty, precious, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.